A Simple Thing, written by Iridan, read by Marianas. Chapter 41. Buir. Din stepped off of the Kirikfly's ramp and took a deep, steadying breath. Yavin 4 murmured and sang all around him. The air was warm and wet, almost clean, thick with the smell of growing things, and leaves rustled in a faint, humid wind. Din heard the usual sounds of a jungle, a kite hawk shrieking, belly birds whooping to each other, insects droning, and let out a quiet breath. The difference between Mos Pelgo and Yavin 4 was startling. Din had only spent half a morning in the little town, ensconced in Paz's borrowed house, but he'd been there long enough to get used to the dry air, the sound of sand crunching underfoot. Mos Pelgo had been, undoubtedly, alive, buzzing and humming with the pattern of life that formed in the desert. Work and music and companionable chatter and more work. Yavin 4 was entirely different. The landing pad had been more thoroughly cleared off since Din had visited last, the jungle pushed back to the edges of the pyramids, vines cut away to reveal delicate carvings on the stonework, but the jungle's tall masasi trees were still crowded close enough to throw long shadows over Din and the Kirikfly. Yavin 4 was alive, too, of course, but it reminded Din more of Kashyyyk than anywhere he'd been on Tatooine. Life on Yavin 4 was vibrant, thrumming and noisy and jostling, a sort of energy that Din could feel humming against the bare skin of his face, like the charge in the air before a storm. But there was an odd sort of peace here on Yavin that Din wasn't sure existed on Tatooine. Or doesn't exist on Tatooine anymore, Din thought. That thought was close to thinking about Boba, which Din had been trying very hard not to do ever since he'd left Mos Pelgo. Din took another breath of clean, warm air and felt some of his worry, his anger, his confusion, all of it still lurking behind his ribs, despite all of the cups of red tea that Paz and Strill had pushed on Din, ebb away. Must be the Jedi's influence, Din thought. He was already looking forward to spending some time with Grogu in the meditation gardens, even though Din still wasn't sure that this, visiting, was a good idea. Coming to see Grogu had been Paz's idea. That, in and of itself, had given Din some pause. He had maintained for almost 30 years that Paz had never had any good ideas, but Paz had brought up a few good points in his argument's favor. First, if Din wasn't going to go back to the palace before the summit, and Din, still angry and hurt by his argument with Boba, had said that he wouldn't, then he'd be spending the next few days in Mos Pelgo, in close quarters with Paz and the others, and Din and Paz hadn't managed to go 2 days without getting into a fistfight since they were children. Mos Pelgo and Cobb Vanth had done Din a favor, taking in Paz and his battered little tribe. Din didn't need to repay that favor by tackling Paz through a window. And Second, Paz was taking his kids with him to Kreese's summit. Din had stared at him for a while after he'd said that, shocked, but Paz hadn't been moved. He and Strill had apparently discussed, quite seriously, since all three of Paz's kids had taken so well to Mos Pelgo and its mixed pack of Town and Tusken children, whether or not Strill should stay behind with her brother and the foundlings. But in the end, they decided that the kids should get to go to the summit, too. "You said that this was going to be a gathering of Mandalorians," Paz had said, looking at Din across a battered table that one of Mos Pelgo's people had donated to furnish the Mandalorians' borrowed house. Word had gotten out around town, apparently, that Paz and his little tribe were Din's kin, and Mos Pelgo had done their best to make sure that Din's kin had been comfortable. "The kids have all sworn the creed, Din. They're Mandalorian, too." Din had been surprised that all three of Paz's kids had taken the creed. Kieran was old enough, but Took was 11 standard and Myrta only 9. Both of them were too young to take their foundling's trial, and while Kieran was old enough, she'd been on the run with Paz for a year, she hadn't taken her trial either. But when Din had pointed that out, Paz had argued that a year on the run, being hunted across the galaxy by the Empire, counted as trial enough, and he'd wanted all three of his kids to know that they were Mandalorians if anything happened to Paz or the Verdike. So all three of them had sworn the creed and were now Mandalorians in miniature. "And since they are Mandalorians," Paz had growled, his voice echoing in his borrowed kitchen like he had expected Din to argue back, "they've got a right to go to the summit, same as any blooded warrior." Paz's argument had been a good one. Din hadn't been able to come up with a convincing counterargument anyway. Casca had sworn that the summit would be safe, would be neutral, and even though she probably wasn't Din's ally anymore, he knew that her word was still good. No one would hurt Paz's kids there, and that settled the matter for Paz. His kids were going. And then Paz had asked about Grogu. Din had balked at the idea at first. It wasn't that Din thought that Grogu shouldn't go. If Paz's kids, the adopted foundlings of a Mandalorian, were going, then Grogu had the same right. He was a foundling. The Alor had named him one herself. She had named Din and Grogu a clan of two. Clan Jaren. "Grogu, he's my son," Din thought, standing at the bottom of the Kirik Fly's ramp. He'd already had this argument with Paz, and Paz had won. Din had tried to point out that he wasn't a Mandalorian anymore, but Paz had chucked an empty cup of red tea at Din's head and told him to get his head out of his shebs. "Just because I'm not Mandalorian anymore," Din thought, the words echoing around his head and Paz's angry voice, "doesn't mean that Grogu isn't. Right?" Grogu hadn't sworn the creed, but that was only because he was still too young for it. He couldn't understand it, not really, so Grogu couldn't swear to follow it. But he was a foundling, and foundlings were the future of the tribe, so that meant that Grogu was Mandalorian, or at least Mandalorian enough to go to the summit with the others. And if it didn't, well, if it doesn't mean that Grogu deserves to see the place where his future will be decided, to meet who will be deciding it, Din thought, then, well, Din wasn't sure what he would do, or what would happen then. He was too tired to think about it. He had managed to catch a handful of hours of fitful sleep in hyperspace, interrupted by strange, slithering dreams that he didn't remember. But Din's head still hurt, his heart was still sore. That had been at the crux of Paz's third and final argument, as Din had been sitting at his table, clutching his own empty cup. "Dinika," Paz had said, using the nickname that Din had hated as a child and still sort of hated now, because it meant that Paz still felt like he had to take care of Din, to look after him. "You look half wild. You need to rest." Din hadn't told Paz what had happened in the palace, what had happened with Boba. He couldn't. He wasn't sure how to explain it to Paz. "It's not like Paz can be convinced that Boba is, or should be, Mandalorian," Din thought bitterly. Paz had probably told Paz that Boba was a pretender, someone who wore armor like a Mandalorian, spoke like a Mandalorian, acted like a Mandalorian to... to what? Din thought. To hunt other Mandalorians for their bounties? Even though he was alone on the platform, Din flinched. Boba wouldn't do that. He wouldn't. Not now, at least. Boba wanted other Mandalorians to leave him alone. He didn't want anything to do with them, and that included spending the time and the credits he'd have to spend to hunt them across the galaxy. But Boba himself has said that he's changed, that he used to be wilder when he'd been a younger man. Would he have hunted Mandalorians before the Sarlacc? Din wondered. Did he hunt them? Unease prickled insistently behind Din's ribs. Paz said that Paz told him that Boba had hunted Mandalorians. But did he, really? And if he did he hunt them because they were Mandalorian or because they were Death Watch? Din hadn't known Boba before all of this, before the Sarlacc, before fighting together on Tython, before falling into bed together on Tatooine. But Din knew, or had known, Boba now. And Boba... Boba, Din thought, remembering Fennec and her warning in the empty throne room after Din had returned from the desert, inherited only a few things from his father. Fennec had laid all of those things out for Din. Boba inherited Jango's armor, his ship, and his shadow. Had that shadow, Din wondered, that legacy that Jango Fett had left behind, come with Jango's old grudges, too? a bitter hatred for Death Watch, which Boba had picked up like a Verdknife. Din thought that he knew the answer to that question. The Boba that Din knew had, reluctantly but still, sheltered 3 children of the Watch in his own palace because Din had asked him to. Boba had sheltered Din. He'd done more than shelter Din. He had helped Din, held him, hurt him too, and then soothed that hurt away. The Boba that Din knew hadn't inherited such bitter hatred. But the Boba that Din didn't know, the Boba of 20 years ago who had been alone in the galaxy without his father. 20 years ago, if Boba had run into a Death Watch ferret in some cantina somewhere, he probably would have turned them in for a bounty, Din thought, if he hadn't killed them outright. For Boba then, it would have been a matter of honor. It would have been about paying back a debt, about vengeance. Of course Pallas warned Paz about Boba back then, Din thought. If Boba was Death Watch's enemy, and we were Death Watch, or what was left of Death Watch. Din caught his thoughts before they could branch away and put him right back where he'd started the day, standing shell-shocked in front of Cobb Vanth, and shook his head. None of that mattered anymore, not really. Din had left Tatooine behind, for a few days at least. He'd left Boba behind, and he'd left his fight with Boba behind back in Jabba's palace, too. There was no room for any of it here, and no room for grief or guilt or doubt, either. Paz had been right. Din did need to rest, and he needed... He wanted, he thought, to make sure that Grogu knew more about being Mandalorian than Din had known. He wanted to make sure that when it came time for Grogu to make his choice, Grogu knew what he was choosing, that he could make a choice. So Din had come to the Jedi Academy. He'd come out of hyperspace and calmed down to the temples. Chase Piru, one of Grogu's teachers, had taken Din's call and invited him to land. Din was here now, surrounded by the light and life of Yavin 4. He needed to set everything that had happened on Tatooine aside. Grogu's a Jedi now, Din thought. Whether he wanted to be Mandalorian or not had yet to be decided, but Grogu had been here for months. He'd had training. If Din was too upset, too angry, Grogu might be able to sense it. It might upset him, too. Din didn't want that. I want to see my kid, Din thought. I don't want to make him cry. So Din pushed all of his confused thoughts about Boba and Paz and being Mandalorian aside. He'd done enough thinking about it. He'd done enough grieving over it, too. Din shaded his eyes against the sun and squinted in the direction of the main pyramid. It was shading towards evening on Yavin 4, so the sprawling complex of pyramids and walkways, gardens and terraces was mostly quiet. Din's ship was the only one on the landing pad, and the only sounds in the air were the calls of bellybirds and the rustling of leaves. The Jedi were probably gathered together for last meal if their daily schedule was still the same as it had been the first time Din had visited. Din wondered who had cooked tonight. Chase Piru had told Din over the comms that he was welcome, but he still hesitated, not sure he should leave the shadow of the Kyrick Fly. A pang of doubt went through him. Din didn't want to barge in on the Jedi, who were, as far as Din could tell, mostly peaceful, unannounced, uninvited. Skywalker had been accommodating the last time, but then Skywalker had wanted Din there at the temple. He'd wanted Din's advice. He'd had a reason to put up with everything that Din dragged along with him. That had been weeks, months ago. I should have come back sooner, Din thought guiltily. Din had been gone for a long time. Grogu might not even remember Din that well, not really. He was still barely more than a baby, and if he didn't even remember Din... Maybe I should wait until morning, Din thought, struggling to catch hold of sudden nervousness, to lock it away. It was only grief speaking. Din knew that. It was only doubt. Din had assumed that he knew Boba, and it had blown up in his face. This. Grogu will remember me, Din thought, firmly. He would. He'd remember Din the first time, after all. It was only Din's lingering grief that made him wonder if Grogu would remember him. It was only the dreams that Din had had in hyperspace. He'll remember me. There's no need to bother him and the other Jedi now. The older Jedi would be tucking the younger ones into bed. They'd be finishing their meals, and the younglings would be getting tired. And Din... Din could spend a night in the fly. It might even do Din some good. Another night might give him the time he needed to work through the mess in his head. To put it away, out of reach, so that Din's bad mood, his pain, couldn't weigh down Grogu or anyone else. But he's right there, Din thought, looking down the walkway that bridged the landing pad and the main pyramids. Grogu would still be at the temple in the morning. The Jedi Academy was safe. Din could see the kid after they'd both gotten some sleep. Din had mostly convinced himself to turn around and climb back into a ship, or to go down into the jungle and wander through the trees, hunting for something to catch and bring to the Jedi for first meal, when Din heard a very loud, very excited, "Bah!" from the direction of the main pyramid, and Din turned back around. The kid, moving as fast as his little legs could carry him, was trundling down the walkway with his hands outstretched, ears flapping, followed at a more sedate pace by Master Skywalker. "Piru must have told them that I was here," Din thought. He stopped and waited for Grogu to reach him, smiling despite the guilt that still prickled behind Din's ribs. Grogu trundled along until he was 4 or 5 feet away, and then, to Din's surprise, he launched himself up with considerable force, 5 feet straight into the air and directly into Din's chest. "Oof," Din said, only managing to catch Grogu by instinct before the kid crashed face first into his chest plate. "He's gotten a little heavier," Din noticed. Grogu was a little taller, too, Din thought. He had grown. Grogu shrieked happily, waving his hands. Din held him out for inspection. "Learned something new, huh?" "Gah," Grogu agreed happily. Din grinned down at him. He couldn't help it. Grogu was happy to see him. Din felt his simple joy like the first brush of sunlight after a long night in space. "Yulia taught him that," Skywalker said dryly, crossing the walkway at his own more reasonable pace. "All of the younglings are doing it now. You can't turn around without one bouncing up to say hello." Din couldn't do anything but keep smiling. Grogu looked happy. Healthy, too. He had gotten a little bigger since Din had seen him last. His ears were even more outsized and twitching happily, and he was a bright green color, flushed from running over to see Din. His eyes were bright and curious. The kid waved his hands animatedly, bombarding Din with a stream of unintelligible chatter. He wriggled in Din's grip a little, reaching for Din's face, and Din let him, pulling the kid closer and tipping his own head down so that Grogu could pat either side of Din's jaw. Din pressed their foreheads together. Grogu cooed. His little hands stopped patting quite so insistently, and he just kept them on either side of Din's face instead, his claws gentle against Din's cheeks. For the first time outside of Boba's rooms, Din was glad he'd left his helmet on the fly. "Hey, kid," Din said quietly. "It's good to see you."
"Gah,"
Grogu agreed. His ears twitched. "I think he knew that you were coming even before Chase pinged you dropped out of hyperspace," Skywalker remarked, coming to stop a few feet away from Din and Grogu, giving them the space to greet each other. "He's been watching the sky all day." Grogu made a little burbling noise of pleased agreement. "Oh," said Din, blinking. Part of him wanted to be disconcerted. He hadn't decided to come to Yavin until he'd finished his talk with Paz, and that had only been 6 or 7 hours ago. But most of Din was just relieved to find out that Grogu had missed him. "Is that a Jedi thing?" Skywalker managed to make his answering shrug look scholarly instead of just confused. "It's a Grogu thing, as far as we can tell," he said. "He's very sensitive." Din's head came up, his eyes narrowed. Skywalker had hesitated before he said that. He'd only done it for less than a second, but Din caught it anyway and looked at the kid, eyeing him. Skywalker had said that. "He's very sensitive." In the same tone of voice Theolore had once used when she'd called Din and Paz, their noses bloody from another fight outside of the sparring ring. Energetic young warriors. Grogu just gave Din a wide, gummy smile. He was growing in another tooth. Din refused to let himself soften. "Grogu," Din said, trying to sound stern. "You're not giving your teachers a hard time, are you?"
"Ba-ah,"
Grogu said, patting either side of Din's face. Skywalker chuckled. "No more trouble than any youngling his age should be giving his teachers," he said reassuringly. A child Grogu's age is learning something new about the Force every day, and while what he learns might surprise us, it's not a bad thing that he feels comfortable enough to explore, to experiment. This is just the right age for mischief. "My sister's son is just 4, and he's a terror." Skywalker paused, then winced. He said, "Don't tell her I said that." Din looked Skywalker up and down, but could see no resentment or concern or even exasperation in him. He meant what he was saying. Grogu wasn't causing any trouble. "I won't," Din promised, amused. He doubted that he'd ever meet Skywalker's sister unless she visited Yavin 4 at the same time that Din himself did. Skywalker didn't talk like his nephew was a student here. His sister and her family probably just visited now and again. Din looked down at Grogu. Grogu beamed up at Din again, and Din was helpless to do anything but smile back. "As long as this one's not causing you too much trouble," Din added. Skywalker laughed. "No," he said. "None of the younglings, the youngest of the younglings anyway, are too much trouble. Some of the middling ones, our initiates we call them, can be a handful. They're all old enough to get into trouble on purpose, you see." "How old are initiates?" Din asked, interested. Skywalker had talked Din through the different stages of being a Jedi before. Grogu was a youngling, then there were initiates, then apprentices, then Jedi. But Skywalker hadn't described how old, roughly, each group was, or when a youngling moved up to being an initiate or an initiate up to an apprentice. Din gently pulled his face away from Grogu, who let him do it with only one disappointed sigh. Din checked on the kid to see if he wanted to get down and walk on his own again, but Grogu just settled himself into the crook of Din's elbow and wrapped a hand around one of Din's thumbs. Point taken, Din shifted so that the kid was held securely against his chest, and then he gave his full attention back to Master Skywalker. Skywalker was willing enough to talk to Din. By unspoken agreement, they turned and began to make their way towards the main pyramid. Din fell into step at Skywalker's side. "Our youngest initiate is 8, said Skywalker. "Our oldest, well, she's a Wookiee, so she's 61, but Gungi tells me that's about the same as 12 or 13 standard to a human." Din nodded. He thought that he understood. A Jedi initiate sounded like an older foundling. The youngest, foundlings and clan-born children under 6 or 7, didn't have much to do in the covert aside from attending self-defense lessons and play. It wasn't until a foundling was older, closer to 8 or even 9 or 10, depending on the child, that they were ushered into more advanced combat lessons and given chores around the covert. "What happens after a Jedi outgrows being an initiate?" Din asked. "They're apprentices next, right?" The evening air on Yavin 4 was warm and balmy, and Skywalker was willing enough to indulge Din's curiosity. Din still didn't know much about the Jedi. Most of what he knew came from rumor. But Grogu was going to be a Jedi one day, and Din wanted to know what that would look like. "When an initiate is 11 or 12, sometimes a little older," Skywalker said, "the knights, full Jedi like me, will start spending more time with the initiate to see if they'd be a good match as teacher and student. Knights and masters who find initiates who get along with them and who work well with them in the Force take on the initiate as a Padawan, an apprentice." "At least," Skywalker added, "that's how it was done in the old days. We're still figuring it out here. In the old days, a master and their apprentice would train together for years until the Padawan was ready to become a knight themselves. Knights usually trained at least 1 or 2 Padawans before they were granted the rank of master." Din nodded again, a little surprised. His covert hadn't ever had enough full warriors for each one to only take on one foundling to train more closely. But he'd heard from Paz, who'd heard from his father, that Mandalorians had once trained their own children that way. A warrior would take on just a few students at a time, two, maybe three, and teach their students everything they would need to know about fighting, about hunting, about the tribe and the creed, and how to survive. Teaching foundlings that way when Din had come up in the covert hadn't really been possible. There'd only been a handful of fully trained warriors across the entire covert to teach 20-odd young warriors and foundlings, so Din had never been pulled aside and made an apprentice or a student. He had learned his trade in bits and pieces. Hunting from Palace, blasters from Wirren, hand-to-hand from the older kids, honor from the Alor. That was back in the days of the Old Order, though, said Skywalker, as if he could read Din's memories. A lot of the knights, or the Jedi we have here who would be knights if there were still trials of knighthood to take, aren't ready to take on an apprentice. Many never will be. Teaching a student like that, so close in the Force, it's difficult when both master and apprentice might have the ghosts of the Empire still in their heads. Din winced. He could imagine that that was true. We're managing, though, Skywalker continued. Those who have apprentices already hate seeing initiates left out, so there's some of us who have just one or two apprentices, and there's knights who've got five. It's, well... Din thought that Skywalker sounded embarrassed, almost. Din blinked.
Sounds like it works to me, he said.
Good-da, Grogu agreed.
Skywalker smiled faintly. Some of his earnest happiness, the affection in his voice when he talked of Grogu and the younglings learning more of the Force, had faded. Din watched Skywalker's expression out of the corner of his eye.
It does work, Skywalker agreed. He looked around surreptitiously, almost like he was checking to make sure that he wouldn't be overheard, and then he said, voice lower than before,
"It's just not the way that it was done." Din blinked again.
"No," he said slowly.
He looked at Grogu and thought about keeping his observations to himself. Din didn't know anything about the Jedi, not really. It looked to him like Skywalker's Academy was doing just fine. Grogu was happy, at least, and that was what Din cared about the most, but maybe there's only one way that the Jedi are supposed to learn, Din thought, frowning a little to himself as he tried to sort his thoughts out. Jedi weren't Mandalorians. Mandalorians learned all sorts of different ways to fight. They learned blasters and knives and bombs and spears and even swords if they were suited for it. But a sword wasn't the Force. Din could do a lot of damage with the Darksaber. To tables, walls, and Imperial remnants, at least. But he couldn't throw someone 40 feet away with the power of his mind. Maybe Jedi had to learn just one way, the Jedi way, so that no one got hurt. Maybe it's not like learning to fight like a Mandalorian, Din thought slowly. Maybe it's like learning to be a Mandalorian. There is... I was taught that there was only one way of the Mandalore. But Din knew now that what his elders had taught him, it hadn't been true. Even if they had all believed it, the elders of Din's tribe, the children of the Watch, it hadn't been true. Bo-Katan and her people had been on Mandalore when Din had been learning the creed. The civil wars had already been over, Death Watch had already scattered. But while Din had been learning to throw a punch and how to bring honor to the covert, the true Mandalorians had been 20 years exiled from their home system, broken by Death Watch. Neutral Mandalorians had been 20 years settled into their dome cities. Boba had already lost his father and had decided to forge his own way through the galaxy. Even when I was just a child, Din thought, there wasn't just one way. I just didn't know about any of the others. Din licked his lips. Maybe, he said carefully, that's not a bad thing. Skywalker looked at Din askance. His expression was calm and unreadable again, the sage Master Skywalker as remote and untouchable as a star. Din grimaced, already regretting that he'd opened his mouth. I just mean,
Your kids seem happy, Din said, changing tactics. He had no place sticking his nose into the Jedi's business. Everything Din had learned about the Jedi, he'd learned from an old holocron or from Cobb's stories. From Boba's glancing references to the Jedi and their history as he'd walked in through as much of Mandalore's history as he could remember. Thinking about Boba made fresh pain well up in Din's chest. It hurt more than poking at a bruise. More than the cuts and welts still stinging faintly across the backs of his legs with every step that Din took. Din frowned and tried to push the hurt aside. Grogu's ears twitched and he looked up at Din again. He made a questioning sound. This is a place of peace, thought Din firmly. As if he told himself sternly enough that the Jedi Academy was beyond Tatooine, Din might make himself believe it. And Jedi can read minds. Din remembered the deep ocean of Quinlan Vos's thoughts. He didn't need Grogu wandering around in his head, too. Din hadn't been able to shelter Grogu for much, but this, Din could shelter him from this, at least.
I don't need to think about Boba.
Grogu seems happy here, Din continued, turning his thoughts away from Boba and Tatooine with all of the effort that he could muster. There's something to be said for that. If they're happy, if they're safe and cared for, then it doesn't... Well...
Skywalker was still watching Din out of the corner of his eye. He had blue eyes, Luke Skywalker, as open as the skies of Tatooine. But there was a depth to them that told Din that Skywalker had seen his own share of grief.
I should quit shoveling sand before I dig up a dragon, Din thought, wincing again. He sighed.
You've got a lot of younglings and initiates here, right? He said.
Skywalker nodded.
Then you'll have enough knights and masters to do things the way that the Old Order did them, Din said. It'll just take a while.
Skywalker smiled again, though his smile was still distant.
In time, he agreed. He seemed to shake off his melancholy with great effort. His smile brightened a little, became more genuine.
Believe it or not, Master Jaren, Skywalker said, I'm just not very patient.
I hear from some of the other masters about the way that the Jedi Temple on Coruscant used to be, and I just...
He broke off and waved a vague hand.
I want that here, he said. I want to know what it was like, then, there.
You've never been to the Jedi Temple on Coruscant? Din asked.
Skywalker shook his head.
No, he said. He gave Din a sideways little grin.
I grew up on Tatooine, he said. I didn't get any training, didn't even know what the Force was until I left Tatooine for the Rebellion. I didn't set foot in the Jedi Temple. Not until... Well,
the Emperor turned it into his Imperial Palace after he'd driven all of the Jedi away, Skywalker said. I've visited that. We did some kind of big ceremony there a few years ago. Not the Jedi, the New Republic. Some big political thing. It was awful.
Din grimaced again. He could imagine. Din had never had much to do with the New Republic, aside from breaking into that prison barge to free Quinn, and aside from a few brushes with New Republic Rangers, which Din did not particularly want to mention to Skywalker, but Din imagined that New Republic politics weren't that different from Mandalorian politics. From Tatooinean politics. All of it was awful.
It's Din, Din said instead, firm again.
Grogu made a happy little burbling sound from the crook of Din's elbow.
Not Master Jaren.
And if the Jedi Temple on Coruscant still exists, why are you all the way out here? Coruscant's gotta be safer than some moon in the Outer Rim, right?
There were shadows in Skywalker's eyes when he answered.
You'd be surprised, he said. His tone was forbidding enough to make Din wince.
The old temple. The Emperor ruled the galaxy from it for over 20 years. It's not really the Jedi Temple anymore.
Din thought of Mandalore again. The shell of the planet, the system, really, was still there, hanging in space. But it was just that, a shell. Nothing would ever live there again.
Yeah. Din said, thinking of that deep, unnatural silence, the utter stillness on the surface.
I can understand.
Besides, said Skywalker, brightening again with obvious effort. He didn't seem to like wallowing in whatever bitter spirit he carried, though Din thought that Skywalker, that any Jedi still living, really, if half of what Din had heard about what had happened to them was true, had more reason to wallow than most. Skywalker swept a hand out, gesturing at the cluster of pyramids, their flanks turned soft and golden in the evening light. There were Jedi here, too, once, Skywalker said. Din blinked. Really? Or something like the Jedi, Skywalker said. They were an older order, I think. Like us, but different, too. There were Jedi temples and Jedi outposts all through the galaxy once, and the Jedi weren't the only ones who used the Force, either. Cal, Knight Kestis, you've met him? Kestis was the red-haired Jedi with the little droid. His wife was the white-haired Zabrak woman who Din had seen meditating in the gardens a time or two. Din nodded. He spent most of his life exploring old ruins like this, Skywalker explained. He and his teacher, Master Jenda, have been all over the galaxy looking for Force artifacts. He's found dozens of cultures, old temples like this one, that venerated the Force as the Jedi do. Whoever lived here before us, they were strong in the Force. They touched it often. You can sense that, Din asked, surprised again. He looked around. The temples were cleaner and tidier than they'd been when Din had first visited, but they were still old, ancient even. Even if they lived here, what, hundreds of years ago? Thousands, said Skywalker. And yes, we can tell. Jedi, I mean. It's whoever they were, the people who lived here in these temples, loved the Force. That leaves an impression, I guess you could call it. It leaves a mark. Oh, Din said. Grogu made an inquisitive sound, patting Din's chest plate. Can he sense that? Din wondered. Can he sense that there were people who lived here thousands of years ago? You've spent some time on Tatooine, Skywalker said, looking at Din again. Haven't you? I was pretty much living there, Din said. He didn't want to get into the specifics of it. Boba and Skywalker had been enemies once, after all, and even if Din and Boba were arguing now, even if Boba had sent Din away, Din didn't want to undermine Boba to an enemy, didn't want to give Boba's secrets away to an outsider. And I'm going back, Din reminded himself fiercely. He'd left to see Grogu, to attend Kreese's summit, to give Boba what he wanted, time to be alone. But Din was going to go back. I spent a lot of time there when I was younger, too, Din added, pulling his thoughts away from Boba again. Grogu made another sound, a little more worried this time, and patted Din's Beskar again. It's a good place for a bounty hunter to get started out. Skywalker smiled faintly. If he'd grown up on Tatooine, he probably knew that already. Then you've seen some of its canyons, Skywalker said, like the Jundland Wastes. Din nodded again, slowly. He didn't want to get into his status as Tuskra either. Skywalker was a Sorrowlane's name. Din didn't know what Skywalker's life had been like on Tatooine. But most of Tatooine's human inhabitants didn't like the Tuskens, and most Tuskens didn't like humans. Even if Skywalker'd grown up in one of the cities or the spaceports, he would have grown up hearing of the evils of the Tusken Raiders. The Force, think of it like a river, Skywalker said. He'd lost most of his melancholy tone and was speaking to Din like a teacher spoke to a student. The Force flowed through these pyramids, this clearing, thousands of years ago, and everyone who knew that river as it was is gone now. Like the rivers of Tatooine. The rivers of Tatooine weren't gone. Many of them had dried up, that was true, but there were still rivers moving underground. There were still springs in the high mountains, still oases in the deserts. That wasn't Skywalker's point, though, or at least Din didn't think that it was. He cocked his head, listening. Grogu was listening, too, his big eyes fixed on Skywalker. Din wondered how much of this kind of thing, all of this talk of the Force, that Grogu actually understood. He was still so young. But the Force left an impression here, Skywalker continued. When the Jedi of that day left this place and took their love of the Force with them, like how the rivers of Tatooine carved canyons out of the bedrock before they dried up in the suns. The water is gone, but the canyons still stand. Din looked at Skywalker sideways. I see, Din said. He didn't, really. But then Din wasn't a Jedi. Maybe whatever it was that Skywalker was talking about was obvious to a Jedi, these rivers in the Force. Whatever it was that made the old pyramids feel safe, feel welcome. Skywalker's eyes turned up at the corners. Imagine it, he suggested. Close your eyes. I'm not a Jedi, Din said apologetically. I'm not going to be able to feel anything. You're not a Jedi, no, Skywalker agreed, placid as an oasis. Din thought he saw a flicker of mischief in Skywalker's eyes, though, and frowned a little. But that doesn't mean that you're deaf and blind to the Force, Skywalker continued. You are. All living things are in the Force. All living things create the Force, and all living things touch it, too. It's only that some of us touch it more closely than others. Din, who had liked the Force much better when Skywalker had described it as something like gravity, something with rules, frowned a little harder. Skywalker chuckled. Just try, he encouraged. It's not as hard as you think it is. Just close your eyes. Breathe. Grogu?
Patu,
Grogu said. Can you show your father how we meditate here at the Academy? Skywalker asked. Grogu studied his teacher for a moment, then flicked his ears, looked up at Din, and put a tiny hand on Din's chest to brace himself. He closed his eyes. He held very still. Good, Skywalker said. He smiled at Din. Now it's your father's turn. Doubtful, but willing enough to play along, since Din had apparently secured Skywalker's hospitality for the night, Din stopped walking and closed his eyes. The last thing he wanted to do was walk off the side of one of the pyramids while he was holding Grogu. Grogu could levitate. Din could only do that if he remembered to engage his jetpack in time. As it always did, closing his eyes made the rest of Din's senses expand to compensate. It wasn't quite as sharp an expansion as it always was up in Boba's rooms. Usually Boba's rooms were dark, or Boba had properly blindfolded Din so that Din couldn't see anything past the fabric of the blindfold, and the rest of Din's senses had to work harder to make up for that darkness. Yavin 4 wasn't dark. Din could still see the sun through his eyelids, a warm red-orange, and he felt it on his face, too. But his senses still stretched out a little. The distant chatter of a flock of bellybirds resolved into individual whoops and cries. Din could hear the branches of the Masasi trees creaking, too, not just their leaves rustling. And he could hear the wind as it whistled around the worn edges of the pyramids. His sense of smell sharpened. Yavin 4 still smelled damp and alive, but its scent was richer now. Din could smell overturned earth and a complicated tangle of three or four different flowers, some sweet and light and others so floral they made his nose itch. He could smell sun-warmed rocks, too, and the faint, spicy scent of whatever it was that the Jedi had been eating for dinner. Din could smell Grogu, warm skin, a clean tunic, Beskar. Now, said Skywalker quietly. Imagine a river. He was beside Din, and Din could feel him there, his own body registering the warmth, the movement of another being nearby. Imagine it winding its way through these pyramids, connecting them together. Still dubious, Din did as he was told. Din was not an imaginative person by nature, not really. There were warriors in the covert who had been. Annika had spent a lot of her time painting her armor, painting toys for the kids, and Dan had loved coming up with silly stories to tell the foundlings. Tosho and Paz both had liked to whittle, had taken great pleasure in carving toy wishhawks and shriekhawks and iron wolves out of hunks of wood for the foundlings to play with. Din's concerns had always been more immediate. He'd spent most of his time hunting or preparing to hunt. He hadn't been able to spend much time sitting around painting new designs on his armor or looking at a piece of wood to see what creature he might be able to coax from it with a sharp knife and a little patience. "But I've seen a river before," Din reminded himself, still frowning. "I know what water looks like." He was overthinking this. Skywalker had said that it was easy, that all Din had to do was... What, Din thought? Imagine a river? It sounded absurd, but Din could do that. He reached through his memories and tried to find one that fit. One that matched the sounds of Yavin, the smell of it, animals and earth and children laughing, wind moving through the leaves. Kashyyyk, for all of its vibrancy, had never gotten much wind down among the Rossier trees. The treetops had been plenty windy, but underneath them the Rossier forests had been still, close. And things had always been growing there, but Din's time on Kashyyyk was still tinged in Din's memory with the acrid smell of burning sap, the Imperial refineries belching smoke out over the horizon. He set aside his memories of Kashyyyk and reached deeper. Tatooine's rivers were all underground now, too deeply hidden, too closely guarded for Din to have been able to find them. Nevarro's rivers were all rivers of lava. In places like Nar Shadda or Nal Hutta, all the rivers were choked with weeds and filth. None of them belonged here. Din reached farther back into his memory. The river of his childhood, the river that had run behind his parents' house at the bottom of the fields, thick with reeds, had been alive, too. There had been peaceful days playing with his cousins beside it. There had been laughter in the air. Hadn't there? Din brushed against the memory, silver water flickering behind his eyes. Something in his chest shuddered. No, he thought, pulling away. That's not right. Din couldn't tell why it wasn't right, but it wasn't. That memory, it had no place here. The backs of Din's legs, still crossed with half-healed welts, ached sharply. Din opened his eyes. Sorry, he said apologetically. The jungle and the temples and Skywalker's face resolved themselves. The sounds and smells of the jungle retreated. I can't feel whatever you're talking about. Skywalker only shrugged. He offered Din another smile. That's all right, he said, tone reassuring. Thanks for trying, anyway. It's not every day that I have such an attentive student, Grogu? Grogu objected immediately, opening his eyes, too. He looked up at Din, his expression wide open and innocent, as if he were trying to say that whatever had happened during Master Skywalker's lesson to catch Grogu's attention, it certainly hadn't been Grogu's fault. Now, kid, Din said, seizing the opportunity to keep moving, to get away from Skywalker's strange force exercise, the strange feeling in Din's own chest. I thought we'd talked about behaving for Master Skywalker and the other teachers. Grogu took up a spirited defense and chattered the rest of the way back to the Academy's main pyramid. He still wasn't speaking basic, but his strings of sounds had gotten longer and more complex. Din hoped that Grogu would start talking soon. That when he did, Skywalker would calm Din so Din could listen, too. Skywalker interjected here and there, filling Din in on all that had happened since Din had left the first time. It had been a few months, after all. He didn't mention the Force again. Actually, Skywalker said as he and Din crested the main pyramid and crossed into the mess hall, which was now mostly empty of younglings and initiates, leaving only a handful of the older apprentices and the knights. If you hadn't shown up when you did, I was going to calm you. Oh? Din said, lifting an eyebrow. He tried to squash the guilt that was bubbling up at Skywalker's words. Din had been gone for too long. He'd thought about visiting Grogu dozens of times over the past few months, but Din had just been... busy. He'd had work, and he'd had Boba. That might not be a problem anymore, Din thought, half wry and half bitter. Boba would probably accept Din back into the outfit. He'd be stupid not to throw away a fighter like Din before his war against the Hutts was finished. And Boba wasn't stupid. But accepting Din back into his bed, into his arms. Skywalker smiled, drawing Din out of his thoughts again. Quinlan Vos mentioned you, Skywalker explained. He said that he ran into you a week or so ago. He said that you might be willing to help us. Din blinked, thrown a little by the mention of Vos, but caught on and nodded. Vos must have come here, back to the Academy, after he'd left Mos Eisley. He'd taken Joss's pilot, Din remembered, the Duros. Vos had been on Tatooine hunting slavers. Slavers, Din remembered, who freighted with Force-sensitive kids. I am, Din said immediately. He thought of Grogu disappearing down the Sorrow Lanes and tightened his grip on the kid. I will help. Skywalker flashed him a grateful smile. You seem like you would be willing to, he admitted, but I'm glad to hear it. Is he all right? Din asked, worried. Vos was capable, more than capable, but if he had mentioned meeting Din and Mos Eisley to Skywalker... Does he need help? Din pressed. Skywalker held up a hand and looked around the mess hall. There were fewer than 10 Jedi in the room altogether, and even fewer than that Din recognized. Kukrook the Wifid, who taught the younglings lightsaber combat, was settled into a corner by himself, reading off a datapad. He hadn't looked up. Ferris Olin, the human Jedi who'd sat for so long at the top of the Bounty Hunters Guild's pile of pucks, was speaking quietly with two younger Jedi, a Nautilan and a Myrlan. Kestis's wife, the Zabrak, was sharing her meal with an older human woman that Din didn't recognize. A few other Jedi had looked up when Din had followed Skywalker into the mess hall and had registered Din's presence. He met their curious gazes as best he could. He'd left his helmet back on the fly, and it was too late to double back for it now. Din didn't regret leaving his face bare for Grogu, but the attention of the Jedi still made him want to shy away. Fortunately, most of the Jedi seemed to know who Din was, even if he didn't recognize them, and went back to their meals and their datapads when they saw Grogu tucked safely in Din's arms. "We try," said Skywalker quietly, "to keep this sort of thing away from the younglings." Din blinked, confused again. "What sort of thing?" he asked. Skywalker's expression was very serious. "The Sorrow Trade," he said. "Oh," said Din. He frowned a little. "Why?" Din had been warned about the dangers of the Sorrow Trade, of venturing outside of the covert alone, of trusting adults that he didn't know, of strangers who looked too long and too intently at Mandalorian children, almost from his first day in the covert. Skywalker studied Din for a moment. "A lot of our kids," he finally said, "haven't had an easy time of things." "No," Din said slowly, thinking of Grogu. Of Arvala Seven, the Trandoshans, the dark little carrier that had been Grogu's only home before Din had found him. Of the Force-sensitive kid that Vos had come to Tatooine to find, only to learn that the Sorrow Trade had already stolen that kid away. They haven't. "We try not to worry them," Skywalker said. He managed another smile, though it was more strained than his others had been. Din wanted to point out that the only child in the mess hall right now was Grogu, and Grogu already knew that the galaxy was a dangerous place. The only other Jedi in the room who could count as children were the two younger Jedi with Olin, and they looked at least 14 or 15. "Maybe Jedi kids don't come of age until they're knights," Din thought. Among the covert, those young Jedi would have already taken their foundlings' trials and found their full place among the clan, but the Jedi did things differently. "They're old enough to learn that the galaxy is dangerous," Din thought. Still, Din was Skywalker's guest here, and if Skywalker wanted to shelter students from the realities of the galaxy for a little longer, that was his ride as the Lord. But Skywalker continued lowly, "If you'd like to help..." "I would," Din said again, tone firm. That made Skywalker's smile a little more genuine. "Then we can talk once the younglings have been sent to bed." Skywalker nodded at Grogu. "Though this one should finish his dinner first, Din, not surprised to hear that Grogu had rushed out to see Din before finishing his meal, looked down at the kid. He raised an eyebrow. Grogu's ears drooped. "Let's finish eating, then," Din said. He supposed that he could understand Skywalker's reticence. Skywalker wanted all of the children in his care to feel safe. to be able to trust that their teachers would protect them. Din wasn't sure that pretending that the galaxy wasn't crawling with skugsuckers who'd sell a Jedi down the Sorrow Lanes for a quick peggot or six was the best way to go about doing that, but the only kid at the Jedi Academy who was Din's was Grogu. Maybe Jedi kids are different from Mandalorian ones, Din thought. He'd been warned of the galaxy's many dangers almost from the first day he'd spent with the Covert. Not that Din had needed the reminders. He had learned that the galaxy was dangerous the day that the Separatists had come to his village. But, Din thought, these kids, they're a lot safer than I ever was. None of the places that Din had lived with the Covert had been as safe as these temples were. Din's tribe hadn't had the backing or the protection of the New Republic. If their covert had ever been raided, the only ones who would have looked for Din and his agemates if they'd been stolen, who would have sought vengeance, would have been other Mandalorian warriors. It'd be an astonishingly stupid slaver to come here, Din thought, if any of them ever found this place to start with. Din wondered if that was another reason why Skywalker had chosen Yavin 4 for his academy instead of Coruscant. If anyone went looking for Jedi, they'd probably expect to find them in the core in the Inner Rim. Yavin 4 was just as much a wild Outer Rim backwater as Tatooine was, and it was even more sparsely populated. Skywalker wants his students to grow up in peace. It was a well-intentioned goal, so Din didn't feel the need to argue or demand to know what Quinlan Vos needed, where he'd gone, in front of the other Jedi. Din could wait until the kid went to bed. Din met Skywalker's eyes and nodded to show that he understood. He saw grateful relief flicker across Skywalker's face. Din returned his attention to Grogu. "Come on, kid," Din said, bending to set Grogu carefully back on his feet. "Let's finish your food, yeah?" Grogu grumbled a little, clearly not very happy with being put down, but he trundled off obediently enough, heading for a plate in the middle of one of the tables that had been left half-eaten, surrounded by the sort of mealtime detritus. Crumbs, bits of mashed vegetables that had been flung from their plates, a sticky spot where some youngling had spilled their Jawa juice. That told Din that Grogu had been eating here with all of his creshmates. Din helped the kid up into his seat, then settled in beside him, meeting the eyes of the other Jedi. Din got several nods of welcome. He even got a few smiles. Din was surprised but grateful. The last time he'd been here, most of the Jedi had treated him with polite but careful watchfulness. Grogu went after the rest of his meal with enthusiasm, offering Din bits of crawfish and slices of armored eel as he worked through his plate. Din accepted the crawfish, which were deep-fried in some kind of batter and pretty good, but declined the eel. He'd gotten miserably sick once as a child after eating some Carnovian eel on Narshada and still couldn't eat anything like it nearly 30 years later. That had been Paz's fault. He'd dared Din to try the dish, apparently some sort of hot delicacy, and had laughed himself into falling over when Din had taken one bite and started to gag. He'd stopped laughing when Din had tackled him around the middle, though. Grogu didn't seem to mind that Din didn't want to share his armored eel. He caught on pretty quickly that Din wouldn't take any and contented himself with shoving crawfish and bits of some kind of bright purple fruit into Din's hands. While they ate, Din kept half an eye on the Jedi around him. He was surprised still at how few Jedi were here. Din hadn't expected to see Vos, who was almost certainly still out hunting down slavers, but many of the adult Jedi Din had met months ago were also gone. Din didn't even see Chase Piru, though he knew that she was in the temple somewhere, as she'd been the one to answer his comm when he dropped out of hyperspace. She's probably off with the kids, Din thought, accepting one last crawfish from Grogu and then beginning the usual task of helping the kid clean up after a meal. Several months with the Jedi might have taught Grogu a few new tricks with the Force, but they hadn't done anything for his table manners. When the kid and the spot he'd been sitting in were free of eel sauce, Din held out his arms and Grogu obligingly climbed into them, sleepy now that he'd had a full meal and the excitement of seeing Din had worn off some. Din had to wrestle with the urge to give in to normal habits and take Grogu back to the fly. He didn't have a berth set up for the kid yet, not even a hammock like he'd put up in the crest, and if Skywalker wanted to talk, Din didn't want to leave Grogu on the fly unsupervised. Mind made up, Din set off in the direction of the crash, where all of the other younglings slept. On his way, Din did run into Chase Piru, who looked as tired as Din felt. Her robes were splattered with the same eel sauce that Grogu had gotten all over the table in the mess hall, and there were shadows underneath her eyes. She smiled, though, when Din nodded in greeting, and she turned around with Din to let him into the crash. The younglings all slept in one room together, and while they had individual sleeping areas, when Din set Grogu down, the kid immediately went over and flopped down with four or five other kids. Jedi younglings, it seemed, preferred to sleep in a heap, much like Mandalorian foundlings or a pack of Anuba cubs. Din crouched down so that he was at Grogu's level and tapped the kid's nose gently. Grogu gave him a sleepy giggle. "Night, kid," Din murmured, speaking softly so he didn't wake the other children. "I'll see you in the morning, okay?"
"Ta," Grogu agreed.
"Thanks for calming me in," Din told Piru once they'd closed the crash door behind them. Piru waved Din off. "Don't mention it," she said, yawning enormously. "You're on youngling duty tomorrow, though." Piru looked like she needed more than just a day off to rest and recover, but Din accepted her charge with a dip of his chin. "Anything you need," he said, and meant it. Piru peeled off down another hall. Din more or less remembered the way to Skywalker's personal quarters. He got lost only twice, sticking his nose into a room that was full of strange-looking leather and flimsy books and datapads, then another that was empty of everything but for a table and what Din thought were two holocrons, and made it there without any trouble. The temple at night was hushed and quiet. Din felt almost embarrassingly loud, moving around in his armor. Out of place, with the darksaber on his hip, with blasters in their holsters and his spear at his back. The temple was a place of peace and Din. He made it to Skywalker's rooms before he could sink too deeply into a philosophical melancholy, which was good. Din had done too much thinking over the last few days. His head still hurt, the spike of pain lodged behind his ear throbbing dully. Din didn't want to think anymore about what he was or wasn't, about Boba. He wanted something to do with his hands, something that would occupy his mind.
"Skywalker might have a job for me," Din thought.
The door to Skywalker's sparse room was open. Din knocked on the frame anyway, wanting to be polite. Skywalker was Grogu's teacher, after all, and that deserved respect. "Come in," Skywalker called. Din obeyed. Not much had changed in Skywalker's room since Din had been here last, talking about the differences between Jedi and Mandalorian children. There was a holocron on a small table beside Skywalker's bed, this one more complex than the one Boba had given Din, with 12 faces instead of 6, and another leather and flimsy-bound book was sitting open beside it. A set of mechanics tools was scattered across the bed. Skywalker's window was open, letting in the warm jungle air, and a large, rather battered R2 series astromech droid was charging against one wall, its photoreceptor dark. Din recognized that droid. It had come with Skywalker to the light cruiser. Skywalker, who was sitting cross-legged on a woven reed mat in front of the window, caught the direction of Din's gaze and smiled. "That's R2, he said, "my astromech." "You had him with you on the light cruiser," Din said. "I did," said Skywalker. "I don't go many places without him. He's an old family friend." As far as droids went, R2 units were pretty harmless. They were built for navigation and for piloting, not for war. Din was still wary of droids most of the time. A2 and IG-11 had proven to Din that not all droids were mindless killing machines, good only for scrap. But Din didn't think he'd be taking on an R2 unit of his own anytime soon. This one was dark and charging, though, so Din left it alone. "Please," said Skywalker, gesturing at the other end of his reed mat. "Sit." Din obeyed, shifting a little, tension beginning to pull at his shoulders. His concern for Voss returned, sharper than before. If Voss had mentioned Din to Skywalker, and Skywalker had been ready to calm Din himself... Voss is in trouble, Din thought. He waited for several seconds for Skywalker to start speaking, but Skywalker only put his hands on his knees and looked out his narrow window, watching the dark jungle of Yavin 4, his expression distant and calm. "So," Din said, resisting the urge to drum his fingers against the armor covering his thigh plates. "Where's Voss?" Skywalker blinked, expression clearing some, and said, "Last time he checked in, he was on Narshada." Din tilted his head, thinking hard. Narshada made sense. Half of the Sarlanes in the galaxy ran through, or at least ran past, Narshada. It was situated on the very edge of Hutt space, close enough that the Hutts got a cut of everything that came through the planet, but not so close that the Hutts could seize the Sara Trader's cargo. Spice lanes ran through that sector, too. Din knew that the spice trade ate up a lot of the unfortunate beings who vanished down the Sara lanes. "Is that where all of the other Jedi are, too?" Din asked, thinking of the empty hallways, the mostly empty mess. Skywalker's eyebrows went up. "It is," he said, sounding surprised and a little impressed. "Master Voss took several of the knights with him. Gungi, Cal, Rom, they all went with Quinlan." "Why?" Din asked. He didn't like the idea of so many trained Jedi away from the Academy. "His lead, the Duros pilot he brought from Mos Eisley, gave up her entire slaving network," Skywalker said. Now that he was away from anyone who might overhear, Din could hear a dark bite in Skywalker's voice. Skywalker didn't like slavers much either, then. Did that network take the kid that Voss was looking for?" Din asked. "On Tatooine?" Skywalker nodded. "They targeted Force-sensitives in particular," he explained. "During the Empire days, they sold Force-sensitives directly to the Empire for the bounty. We've got some of the knights going through some of the records Voss brought back. That network was very profitable for the slavers running it." Din hadn't known that Voss had taken records from Gellis Place before Colburn and his crew had been able to sort through all of Joss's belongings, but there wasn't anything Din could do about it now, so he just listened, setting his hands at his knees to mirror Skywalker. "Voss took a team with him to raid the operations hideouts on Narshada and Zygos," Skywalker continued. Zygos was Zygeria's moon. Din had never been there, but he knew that Zygeria used it to house many of its slaves. He frowned harder. He didn't like this plan of Voss's. 5 Jedi against 2 strongholds, one just a short flight in sublight away from Zygeria. The Jedi, Din knew, were accomplished fighters, all the ones that Din had met, anyway. He'd fought beside Voss, and the others had all survived the Empire's purges. They were all warriors. But after they hit one of Joss's bases, the other will be on high alert, Din thought. And if they succeed, they'll have kids to worry about, non-combatants. Din had an idea. He hesitated to share it because he didn't want to betray anyone's secrets, but Skywalker. Skywalker had grown up on Tatooine. Skywalker was a Sarlane's name. Din took a deep breath. "Has Voss thought," Din said slowly, "about getting help from the Ahra?" Skywalker's expression didn't even flicker. Din was impressed. "What does a Mandalorian," Skywalker said warily, "know about the Ahra?" He said the word the right way. He said it like Vanth would say it, Tatooine slow. Din took another breath and another gamble. "I'm Batron," Din said. "I've done runs, well, a run with the Ahra before. The Ahra and Tatooine are my allies." Skywalker didn't say anything. He studied Din with preternatural calm. You can read my mind if you need to," Din said. He didn't want Skywalker in his head, particularly. He hadn't liked having Voss there, and Voss had been healing Din at the time. But Din knew that anyone involved with the Ahra didn't live very long if they were too trusting, and Skywalker was a grown man. But then Skywalker broke into a smile. His expression softened. "I don't need to read your mind," he said. "You're telling the truth. And to your question, the Ahra would be very welcome if you know how to contact them." "You don't?" Din asked, surprised. He thought... Skywalker shook his head. His smile faded. "Not anymore," he said. "Everyone I knew, well, let's just say that for a while it wasn't safe for anyone to be associated with me, especially if their name or their face was already on a puck. I had to pull back from the network after I joined the Rebellion." I have more recent contacts, Din said slowly, because he did. I can send them to Narshada, maybe, or get a local cell involved. Things on Tatooine were precarious enough without Din conscripting Cobb and his people into a rescue mission. That would help, Skywalker said, inclining his head. I have Quinlan's frequency. It's coded, but I can share it with someone that you trust. Din nodded. He trusted Cobb. Is that what brought you here? Skywalker asked. Looking for Quinlan? No, Din admitted. He probably should have kept Voss and his quest in mind, but the last few days had been so chaotic that Din had almost forgotten Voss entirely. I came to see Grogu. Skywalker accepted that with a nod. Something in his face made Din think that Skywalker wanted to ask more, but he didn't, not yet. But he could probably sense, or see it on Din's own face, that Din had come for another reason. Skywalker's expression was almost expectant. Din wanted to put his hackles up at that expectation. He wanted to bare his teeth. Din's business was his and his alone. Grogu was his son. If Din wanted to take him to the summit... He's Grogu's teacher, Din reminded himself. He wants to keep Grogu safe, too. And it wasn't even that Din wanted to take Grogu to the summit. Din wanted Grogu to be safe. Din wanted to be able to close his eyes on some strange planet surrounded by enemies and know that at least Grogu was somewhere where he was safe, protected, cared for. But this is a gathering of Mandalorians, Din thought. And Grogu, he should be there. It didn't matter that the kid was too young, probably, to understand what would happen at the summit. To understand the differences between Din and the rest of Kreese's people, between Din and his own people. Grogu was a foundling, and foundlings were the future, and Din wanted Grogu to be there. He took another breath. I came, Din said, to borrow Grogu for a few days. Skywalker blinked, but didn't immediately shoot down Din's idea, so Din pressed on. There's in a few days, he continued, there's going to be a gathering of Mandalorians, I guess you could call it. The first gathering I can remember, and I... Grogu should be there. Din didn't want to get into the details, the mess it had all become with Skywalker. He could barely explain the crates down of blood feuds and clan alliances and factions and grudges of Mandalorian politics to himself. Din had grown up in a covert that had been like all the other coverts in the network. There hadn't been any other factions. There hadn't even really been proper clans. There'd been petty grudges, of course, but not the life-or-death blood feuds that had ripped Boba's life apart before he'd even been born. None of that was Skywalker's business. But Skywalker didn't ask Din about any of that. He didn't ask what the summit was or why it was so important for Grogu, for Din, to go. He just blinked, looking at Din from the other side of the woven reed mat. Brushed against Din's mind, Din thought, with mental fingers that felt less like Voss's ocean-deep presence and more like the wind in the desert, fingertips gritty with sand. And then said, simply, "Will Grogu be safe?" Din stared at Skywalker, momentarily thrown. Skywalker smiled crookedly. "Grogu is your son," said Skywalker. "I am just his teacher. If he will be safe there at this gathering..." "He will be," Din said. Paz had promised. Din wouldn't be safe there, not really. Kreese knew that Din wasn't Mandalorian anymore. She knew now that whatever rules of honor had kept her from taking the Darksaber from Din before had been thrown out of the ring. And Paz had accepted Din, the Verdike, but the rest of Din's tribe. It was very likely that someone, anyone, would go for the gaps in Din's armor, no matter what Kreese had said about the summit being neutral. But Grogu was just a child, and Paz had promised that if anything happened to Din, Paz would step in. Din was going to have a target on his back when he landed on Cronest, but few, Din thought, would want to tangle with Vizsla. "He will be safe," Din repeated. He looked at Skywalker and tried to let his conviction shine through. My brother will be there too, and he's promised to look after Grogu if anything happens to me. Skywalker's eyebrows went up again. Are you expecting something to happen to you there? He asked. Din grimaced. I don't know, he admitted. I've never been... Clan politics are beyond me, he said. I'm just a bounty hunter. The summit, it's to decide the future of Mandalore. I'm just a bounty hunter. The expression on Skywalker's face opened, and the sympathy there, the understanding, scoured Din to the bone. He winced and shifted away, unable to bear it. It wasn't something that Din had expected to find in an Arwetti, to be honest. Din had thought that Boba understood, but he'd learned that Boba couldn't understand. Boba had always been exactly what he was. The son of Jango Fett. A clone. A bounty hunter. Arwetti, too, it turned out. Boba had never been Mandalorian at all. But Din... I don't know what I'm going to find at the summit, he thought. Kryze wanted to use me. The Allure, if she's there, will want me at her side, not anyone else's. And the other factions, the other clans. What would they want from Din? What could they want from him? Din was no one. He wasn't even Baroya anymore. He was just himself. He had nothing to offer the future of Mandalore. But Skywalker did understand. Din could see it in his face. Skywalker, Din remembered suddenly, was once the last of the Jedi. And Skywalker was trying to build a new Jedi Order. Something leapt between Din and Luke Skywalker then, electric and alive. It buzzed in the back of Din's mouth. It made Skywalker sit up very straight, like he had touched a live wire. The air crackled. Din and Skywalker looked at each other, their eyes very wide. And then they looked away. The crackling, electric feeling faded. What was that? Din wondered. He'd felt something like it in the cave beneath Gela's place. It had hung in the air around Voss. Is it a Jedi thing? Skywalker spoke first, and his expression had fractured. You're in pain, he said hoarsely. I felt it. Din tried not to flinch. It's not about the summit, Din said. Not really. It was about the summit, though. Din was in pain because I don't know what to do, he thought. I don't know what to feel, what to think. The Creed... I think that the Creed is wrong. And if the Creed is wrong... If the Creed is wrong, does that mean that I'm still Mandalorian? Din hadn't dared to think that before. He'd gotten close to it a few times, but it was there in his heart like a wound that still had shrapnel in it, and Din couldn't pull the shrapnel out without bleeding to death, but he couldn't leave the wound as it was either, because leaving it as it was would kill him slowly. I don't know what to do, he thought. I don't know what to think. And Boba... Boba was the person Din had turned to these last few months. When that heart wound, when being Darmanda had hurt too much to bear. Boba had helped Din. Boba had given Din other things to think about, to focus on. He had listened to Din and argued with him and trusted Din and... No. None of that mattered here, now. Now Din needed to convince Skywalker to let him take Grogu to the summit, that was all. The problem of Boba, the problem with Din himself. That was Din's problem, not Skywalker's. Din took a steadying breath and tried to shut out that pain, that awareness of it. Skywalker was still watching him, his expression still broken open, troubled.
"Master Jaren," he said slowly.
Din twitched a little at the name, but held his tongue. Are you sure that Grogu will be safe?"
"I am," Din said.
That, at least, he was sure of. Din would defend Grogu with his life, and if Din fell, Paz would defend Grogu with the same. Strill would, too. Grogu would be fine.
Skywalker nodded slowly.
"Then I won't keep him here," he said.
"You won't?"
That got another crooked smile out of Skywalker, who looked like he was trying to move past whatever strange sensation had made him sit up so stiffly.
"No," he said. His tone was gentle.
"I told you already, I will not keep younglings from their families. Grogu loves you. That's good. As he grows, he will have to be careful, because attachment, unhealthy attachment, can lead to the dark side. But for a child who has often been afraid, having a father who loves him is a good thing. You make Grogu feel safe."
Din blinked again, this time because his eyes had grown suspiciously warm and wet.
"I do?" he asked. He hadn't meant it to sound plaintive, almost, to sound so vulnerable. But Grogu couldn't talk. Din couldn't ask him if he had been happy on the Razor Crest with Din, if he had understood that Din would have done anything for him. Had done everything for him, really.
Din had broken the creed for Grogu.
Skywalker softened.
"Yes," he said, "you do.
Grogu will tell anyone who will listen. You protected him when he needed it. He loves you."
Din had to look away then.
He stared out Skywalker's window at the dark jungle of Yavin 4. His eyes were stinging.
"Oh," he said.
"My sister's son is strong in the Force," Skywalker said lightly. "And I am always happy to train him when Leia brings him by. But he is happier with his parents. Making him stay here would make him unhappy. I don't want any of my students to be unhappy."
Din nodded. He still couldn't look Skywalker in the eye.
"That's good," he said. "Good." He took another handful of seconds to get himself under control. Something fragile was beating in Din's chest. It was radiant and warm. It was joy, simple and uncomplicated, because Grogu loved Din too.
"I'm going to bring him back," Din said when he could look Skywalker in the eye again. He should be here, at least while he learns to get his powers under control. And I have places to go after the summit that won't be safe, not for him."
Skywalker inclined his head. "Then we're happy to have him back," he said easily. "Where are you going? After Quinlan?"
"If he needs my help," Din said, "then I can."
After the summit, assuming that he survived the summit, Din had intended to go back to Tatooine. Boba's temper took a few days to cool sometimes, but Din was hoping that after the summit, Boba would be calm enough to talk to. Calm enough to decide what he really wanted. If he truly wanted Din to leave. But after that, if Foss needed help raiding a slaver's den, Din would happily go along. Killing slavers would probably improve his mood. That didn't sound like the sort of thing Din should say to a Jedi, though, so he kept it to himself. "I mean it," he added. "If Foss needs help, I don't like slavers. And there's a lot of kids on Tatooine who've gone missing lately. I'd like to help bring them home if I can." Din thought of Dayeri, the Wookiee whose son had disappeared. He thought of Geeta and her siblings. Gela, at least, had been kept chained in that cave, Din was pretty sure. He wouldn't be surprised if more of Geeta's family had passed through that cave, too. He thought of Ruli's cousins, of some of Nora's friends.
The slavers who had attacked the spotted Anuba in the desert.
Maybe that's what I'll be, Din thought, if Boba doesn't want me at his side anymore. If the others throw me out of the summit. If I can't be Mandalorian, or if I can't be Baraya. I can be Batran, maybe.
He liked the sound of that. Skywalker was smiling again.
You know, he said, his hand still on his knees.
I think that I believe you, Mandalorian.
The rest of Din's night passed more or less without incident, and in the morning Din took charge of the younglings. Skywalker had offered Din a room inside the pyramid, but Din had declined, instead making his way back to the Fly, which was at least more familiar than the depths of the Jedi Temple. He'd slept fitfully again, despite getting Skywalker to agree to let Din take Grogu to the summit, and his dreams had left him drenched in sweat and panting. But after Din had gone to the temple again after sunrise, bolting down first meal with the Jedi and then assuming responsibility of the younglings from a very grateful Chase Piru, his dreams faded. His unhappiness faded too. His grief, his doubts about the summit, the faint anger that Din still carried in his belly like a forge coal. All of it, and all of Din's attention, was completely taken over by a horde of Jedi children. Din didn't mind. He'd met most of the younglings before, and was privately a little pleased that so many of them, Yulia the Marilyn, who still liked to leap from pyramid stair to pyramid stair, floating a little with the help of the Force as she did it, the Zabrak twins, a little Togruta boy, a Nautilon girl, three humans, still remembered him. There were more children added to the pack that Din hadn't met, though. Skywalker's Academy had grown considerably in the months since Din had first visited. Now, in addition to all of the kids he'd met before, Din was pulled around by an excited Grogu and introduced to several other kids. A little Twilight girl was always close to Yulia's side now. There was a pair of human children with the same silky blonde hair who only talked to each other, trailing at the back of the pack. The Zabrak twins had added a small blue Deveronian boy named Haki to their ranks because, they told Din very seriously, they liked Haki's horns. And a Pantoran girl with wide gray eyes had only arrived at the academy a few days ago and so was still a little unsure of everyone else. That left Din with 14 magical younglings to mind, including his own. But it also meant that Din was too busy trying to keep the kids from diving off the side of the temple in an attempt to copy Yulia's floating trip, to keep the Zabraks and their new Deveronian friend from daring each other to eat a variety of insects, to keep Grogu from trying to eat anything that moved, to even think about all that had happened on Tatooine. Din seized that respite with both hands. Despite all that they had learned to do with the Force, and their penchant for finding brightly colored things to try to eat, Jedi kids weren't too bad. They were mostly well-behaved, and they listened to Din when he told them no easily enough. Yulia was the Alorica among them, and the rest of the kids followed her lead. Since she happened to like Din, a side effect of Din diving after her with a jetpack once, that meant that most of the rest of the younglings liked Din too and were happy to listen to him. Mostly. They are, Din thought later, after he'd spent an entire morning following the younglings around and doing his best to keep them alive. Very energetic, though. By the time Din dropped the kids off in the mess hall for lunch, Din was exhausted. He kept Grogu, who'd spent most of the morning on Din's shoulder, giving the other kids imperious, unintelligible commands, and waited long enough to make sure that one of the other adult Jedi was around to assume responsibility for the younglings. Then Din collected lunch for himself and Grogu and fled to find some peace and quiet. He found it in one of the meditation gardens. This garden was just as overgrown as the others Din had seen. The Jedi had made some attempts to push the jungle out, to tame the trees and trim back the vines, but they hadn't made much progress here. The garden was set into the back of the main pyramid, terraced out of the pyramid's sloping flank, and the air inside of it was still and calm. "Here you go, kid," Din said, sinking into the quiet with some relief. Chasing a bunch of kids had kept Din's mind off other things, but he was tired. Hopefully he'd actually sleep tonight.
If keeping 14 magical toddlers alive didn't exhaust Din enough to avoid his nightmares, he didn't know what would. He and Grogu would leave the academy in the morning and make for Cronest. Din hadn't told the kid yet, not sure how Grogu would react, but he figured that he'd tell him before they went up for last meal. They had some time yet. Din settled himself down on a broad, mossy stone, arranging his cloak so that Grogu had somewhere to sit, and gave the kid his portion of sliced milaroon. Din slid the rest of lunch, a plate of tiny translucent squid-like creatures, and an Ishid's catch of the day, between them, and leaned back, propping himself up on one elbow. He took his portion of sliced milaroon and dug in. Din was exhausted, but it was a good kind of exhaustion, he thought. It wasn't the bone-deep weariness that had prowled in his footsteps ever since Din had left the palace, blank and empty, sick to his stomach. It was just tiredness. All of Din's limbs were heavy and his whirling thoughts had finally settled. It helped that after he'd finished devouring the squid, Grogu insistently climbed back up into Din's lap, tucked his face against Din's cuirass, and went to sleep. He'd done that back on the Razor Crest, too, when Din and Grogu had lived mostly aboard the ship or in tiny makeshift camps on backwater planets and moons, whenever Din had deemed it safe enough to settle down for a night or two. Growing up entirely in artificial gravity wasn't good for kids. Din remembered that from his time as a foundling, when he hadn't been allowed to spend more than a week at a time in the Black. With Grogu on board, Din had always tried to stop where he could, between jobs and hunts and dodging the Empire, to make sure that Grogu got to stand on solid ground for a few days, got to play in the sunlight. Sitting settled in the gardens of the Jedi Academy kind of felt like that. There was no cook fire here, no battered pod of whatever kind of stew Din had managed to scrape together with the last of his rations, no faded tent with a clear view of the stars through the gaps in the canvas, but... But it's quiet here, Din thought. Most of the other young kids would be going down for a nap now, and the ones who wouldn't nap would be in their lessons with the older Jedi. The temples of Yavin 4 were as quiet now as they ever were. It felt, honestly, Din thought, too tired to feel more than a cursory stab of pain at the thought. It feels kind of like the covert. That was a strange thing to feel here. Skywalker had said that other Jedi had once lived on Yavin, which probably meant that Mandalorians hadn't lived here. Everyone that Din had talked to, even some Jedi, had told Din that Jedi and Mandalorians were enemies. But being here didn't feel like being surrounded by enemies. Din was too calm, too at peace for that. Maybe that's the river and the force that Skywalker was talking about yesterday, Din thought. He leaned harder against the stone at his back and turned his face up to feel the sun. He never had put his helmet back on after leaving the palace. Maybe it's not something that I can see or sense like a Jedi. But maybe it's something that I can feel. Like the sense of peace, of quiet companionship that was now tugging at the edges of Din's cloak. Maybe that was the Force. Din settled deeper into his makeshift seat, curling an arm around Grogu to keep the kid from toppling out of Din's lap, and closed his eyes. Din was tired, but he wasn't tired enough to fall asleep in the middle of a bunch of, well, not enemies, he didn't think, but certainly strangers. Instead, he drifted, letting his thoughts spin down. Din wanted to take advantage of the opportunity to rest. He doubted that the gathering on Cronest would be this peaceful. After a few minutes, Din couldn't even muster up the energy to be too worried about that, though. That feeling of companionship, of safety, brushed against the sides of Din's jaw. It tugged and teased at the rough edges of his patchy beard. This time, Din let himself be tugged along. The garden around him murmured. The smell of growing plants was thick in the air. A belly bird, this one solitary, whooped from the top of a nearby tree. The wind sang. Din tried to match his breathing along with the gusts of wind.
He blew a breath out when the wind came and made the trees hum, their leaves speaking to each other in amused whispers. He drew in a breath when the wind died. The sun was warm on his face. Din hadn't realized that he'd missed that before. He'd gotten so used to wearing the helmet that he'd forgotten how good the sun could feel. Grogu stirred against Din's cuirass and then settled deeper into sleep. He trusted Din to keep him safe. That trust was precious. Din tucked it close to his chest. He kept his eyes closed. The smell of damp earth was comforting, calming. If Din kept his eyes closed, he could almost imagine that he was sitting at the edge of an oasis on Tatooine, his feet in cool, clear water, reeds brushing his flanks, the long, bending branches of a saffi tree brushing his hair. He felt a hand touch Din's elbow. It didn't startle him enough to break the lazy stupor Din had fallen into, the languor that had sunk into him, like Din was made of sun-warmed stone, too, not just the pyramid. But he did feel it. Reacting to that touch felt like swimming. It felt like Boba's oasis, safe and welcoming, a place of peace. Din heard, or thought he heard, laughter. It was faint on the wind. It was... The hand on Din's elbow tightened. "Come," someone said. "Come, come look, come see." A shadow crossed the sun. Din felt the stone cool around him. He wanted to frown. He curled his arm more protectively over Grogu. "Come," someone insisted, their voice low and urgent. There was a face against the backs of Din's eyelids, a shape, a tall man, dark-haired, cold and handsome, flashing his eyes like a tusk leopard flashed its fangs in the dark. Din wanted to pull away, but he couldn't move. The water all around him had turned to sucking sand, to stone. "Come see, come." Grogu woke up with a shriek, and Din jerked out of his stupor. He looked around wildly. There was no one in the garden with Din and Grogu. No tall man, no strange shapes. No one had touched Din. Yavin 4 was bright and sunny and calm all around him.
"Ba-ba,"
Grogu said, blinking, pressing both of his hands to Din's cuirass. Din dragged his free arm, the one that wasn't keeping Grogu anchored firmly to his chest, across his face. "Sorry, kid," Din said, confused. He blinked rapidly to clear his head and looked around again. They were alone. "I must have fallen asleep, huh?" The sun had moved across the sky a little, slanting towards the afternoon. Din eyed it, then looked down at Grogu, who was still staring up at Din with wide eyes. "Sorry," Din repeated. He smiled at Grogu to reassure the kid. "Didn't mean to wake you up, buddy."
"Bah,"
said Grogu, sounding doubtful. Din shook his head a little, like an Anuba trying to shake off sand fleas, and stretched. He was sun-warmed all over. His cheeks were flushed and his forehead hurt. "No wonder I fell asleep," Din thought. "I was basking like a crate dragon." "Come on, kid," Din said, looking around the garden one last time. Din was alone. There were no other tall, dark-haired men sitting on the pyramid steps or lurking in the shadows. Whatever Din had seen, whatever he dreamed, had been just that, a bad dream. Din had been having enough of those lately to recognize when he'd had another one. "Let's get you back to your classes, huh?" Grogu agreed. They left together, and Din returned the kid to the creche, where a much-rested Chase Piru had once again taken over the youngling's lessons. After securing a promise from Grogu to be good, and promising in turn to pick the kid up before last meal, Din said his goodbyes and found himself at loose ends. Skywalker was nowhere to be found, and Din didn't know what around the temple still needed doing. He didn't want to just fall asleep in the garden again. He was sunburnt enough as it was, and Din hated being idle. If he didn't have anything to do, Din was going to start thinking about Boba again.
About the pain in his voice there beside the ruined table. About the way his visor had flashed. No, Din thought firmly, pushing all of that aside. The Jedi Academy was a place of peace. Din wanted to take advantage of that while he was here. It's not like a gathering of Mandalorians is going to be peaceful, he thought, grimly amused. A few months ago, Kukruk had used the afternoons to teach lightsaber lessons. Din had spent an entertaining few days figuring out how to spy on those lessons. Most of the adult Jedi were gone, that was true, but maybe Kukruk was teaching another age group in their place. The idea was interesting enough to divert Din out of the main pyramid and off in the direction of the one Kukruk had used for his lessons the last time that Din had been there. Sure enough, Kukruk proved that he was a creature of habit. The old Wiffid had assembled a collection of 8 or 9 initiates, kids ranging between 8 and about 12, and was walking them through several steps of a lightsaber form. The children all had their lightsabers ignited, orange and blue and yellow and green, and Kukruk was moving among them carefully, correcting stance here, the angle of a blade there. And this time, Din thought that he actually understood what Kukruk was doing. The initiates were walking through one of Form 4's katas. Not one of the complicated katas, a series of moves that involved flipping or spinning or a second blade, but a pattern of strikes and parries designed to give the wielder control over their opponent's weapon. Kukruk hadn't taken too kindly to Din watching a lesson last time, so Din kept his distance, but he watched. 2 students, a Togruta boy with oversized mantras who'd just grown a few inches if Din had to guess and couldn't figure out what to do with his feet, and a Zabrak girl with more temper than patience, were obviously struggling. Din drifted a little closer, trying to see what was wrong. He watched them repeat the kata twice more, both children behind their peers. The girl's problem is timing, Din realized, watching her keenly. She's not giving herself enough time to recover between strikes, and it's throwing the whole thing off. And the boy. Mandalorian, Kukruk snapped, drawing Din's attention. He had drifted closer to the platform of students than he'd meant to, and Kukruk had caught him at it. Din didn't have his helmet to hide behind this time. He met Kukruk's hard gaze anyway, ranging his own expression into what Din hoped was a passable copy of Skywalker's unruffled calm. Master Jedi, Din returned evenly. Kukruk snorted. All of the initiates had stopped their katas now and were looking between Din and Kukruk with interest. The last time he'd been here, the kid's scrutiny would have bothered Din. It didn't really bother him now. The kids, they were harmless. There was no reason to hide his face from them. What are you doing here, Mandalorian? Kukruk asked. I thought I made it clear that these lessons are for Jedi, not for Mandalorians. No matter what trophies you carry at your side. He meant the darksaber. Din resisted the urge to curl his hand over the hilt of the thing protectively. Kukruk wouldn't take it from him, Din didn't think. And if he did, Din thought, darkly amused, then he can be Mandalore and Kree's can fight him instead. I was just curious, Din said, keeping his tone even. That's all, I wanted to watch your practice. Kukruk snorted. What do you know about lightsaber combat? He demanded. You have nothing to learn from us here. That sounded like a challenge. Like something that Paz would say, and Din's temper flared. I know, Din said, his tone considerably colder, that your student there, he lifted his chin at the Zabrak girl, who was looking at Din with curious golden eyes, is about half a second too quick moving from one step to another, and she keeps finishing the kata too early. And that one, he indicated the Togruta boy, who looked considerably more alarmed than the Zabrak to be singled out, has just gone through a growth spurt and his center of balance is off. He should keep practicing with the first and second katas before he moves on to this one, otherwise he won't be able to master the rest of Itaru. Everyone, Kukruk, the Zabrak, the Togruta, even a pair of human boys who'd been whispering to each other behind their teacher while his attention had been focused on Din, fell quiet. Kukruk recovered first. What, he said slowly, did you call it? Kark, thought Din, though he wasn't afraid.
I've either said the right thing or I've said something so wrong that Kukrook will throw me out of the academy. It's Ataru, Din repeated into the silence that had fallen over Master Kukrook and his students. Right, Form 4? None of the initiates said anything. They were staring at Din with wide eyes. But Kukrook narrowed his eyes, deactivated his lightsaber, and looked Din up and down. What, he said in his growling, whiffed voice, does a Mandalorian know of Form 4? Not much, Din admitted. He didn't particularly want to get into the distinction between Mandalorian and Darmanda with Kukrook. Din thought of the holocron, wishing again that he'd braved the throne room to go up to his own rooms and grab his kit before he'd stalked out of the palace with his feelings and his pride wounded, and reached for the memory of Grandmaster Yoda. It's very athletic, he continued. I can't use the Force, so... Kukrook's eyes narrowed further. You speak, he said, like you have had training in Form 4. I wouldn't call it training, exactly, Din said, balking again. He was venturing into dangerous territory and could sense it. Din thought about Ahsoka Tano, about how fast she had moved, of how skilled and dangerous she'd been as she swung her white lightsabers at Din, how quickly she'd cut her way through Caladan, going after Morgan Elsbeth and her guards with all the ferocity of a sandstorm. I met someone who used Ataru, Din said. She was very good. That made Kukrook raise his grizzled eyebrows. His tusks gleamed in the late afternoon sun. A Jedi? He demanded. Who? That's not my secret to share, Din said carefully. He met Kukrook's eyes and held them. If she hasn't made herself known here to all of you, I won't do it for her. Tano had helped Grogu. Without her advice, they never would have thought to go to Tython, and while Grogu had been taken on Tython, that hadn't been Tano's fault. Gideon had been tracking them. And while he'd been meditating, Grogu had been able to get into contact with Skywalker using the old Jedi stones on Tython, and Skywalker had eventually come and saved them all. Without Tano's advice, none of that would have happened. Din, Kara, Fennec, and the Night Owls would have died on the light cruiser. Kukrook, to Din's surprise, only grunted. He didn't press Din for any more details about whoever had demonstrated Ataru for him. He even, Din thought, looked grudgingly impressed. You know of Form 4, then? Kukrook growled. What other forms do you know? There's 7, Din said, confused now. He didn't know what Kukrook wanted, and he didn't know what the right thing to say was. If Din was supposed to feign ignorance because he'd been Mandalorian and therefore the Jedi's enemy, or if Kukrook really wanted to gauge what Din knew. He's one of Grogu's teachers, too, Din reminded himself. I should all be honest. Kukrook clearly hadn't been expecting Din to know that there were 7 forms of lightsaber combat, because he was so surprised that he dropped his usual hostility towards Din and said, in much milder tones, That's right. Can you name them? Pay attention, initiates, he added. Let us see if this Mandalorian knows your business as well as you do. All of the Jedi kids fixed their attention eagerly on Din. He felt it, his shoulders pulled tight. But Din stood his ground, lifted his chin, and said, reaching for Obi-Wan Kenobi's calm, even cadence, Shicho, Makashi, Suresu, Ataru, Shien, and Niman. There's a 7th form, but I don't remember what it's called. Din mostly ignored Qui-Gon Jinn's portion of the holocron because Din couldn't master more than the basic Niman strikes and blocks anyway. And there's a variant of Shien called Jemso. Kukrook and all of his students regarded Din with open, palpable shock. Kukrook, older and probably more practiced at recovering from a surprise, rallied first. That is not, he said, though his tone hadn't picked up its previous hostility just yet, something you would have learned crossing blades with a Jedi, Mandalorian. No, Din allowed, it's not. So where did you learn this? Kukrook asked.
Even in the days of the Clone Wars, knowledge of our forms was kept inside our temples. I found a holocron, Din said. If Kukruk already didn't like Mandalorians, he'd probably heard of Boba. He'd probably been afraid of Boba, actually. Din didn't think that Boba had ever hunted any Jedi, but the survivors of the Clone Wars had been hunted. Kukruk had probably learned the names of the galaxy's most prominent bounty hunters, if only to tell his students who to avoid or what to watch out for. To run if they ever saw the gleam of Beskar out of the corners of their eyes. A holocron, said Kukruk flatly. Din nodded. There's not a lot of information about the Jedi out there, he said. He didn't want to lie, didn't know if Kukruk would even buy a lie, but he also didn't want to set a bunch of Jedi on Boba by accident, though the thought of doing it on purpose was oddly gratifying, at least for a few seconds before Din shoved it away. So he got as close to the truth as he could. I've been looking for more information about them, about you all, I mean, Din continued. Since Grogu's gonna be one, Boba had given Din the holocron not so that Din could use it, but so that Din could give it to Grogu. Din had just figured out how to open it by mistake. You could open it? Kukruk asked. He had narrowed his eyes again, but didn't start forward aggressively. It was damaged, Din said. Cracked. It had been abandoned on Tatooine. Forgotten. That was true, sort of. Jabba was dead, and anyone who'd served underneath him was also dead, gone from the system or uninterested in the minutiae of Jabba's treasure hoard. No one else had known that there'd been a holocron underneath the palace until Boba had dug it up. Kukruk eyed Din, but accepted what he'd said with a short nod. And this holocron, he rumbled, it was a record of lightsaber forms? It was a record of a lineage, Din said. Remembering the way that Ahsoka Tano, only an apprentice, a Padawan, in the holocron staticky recording, had introduced herself. Din had never been able to get the very beginning of the holocron to play properly, despite all of the times he'd watched it since he'd first figured out how to open the thing. But Padawan Tano had talked like the holocron was some kind of assignment, a project. There were a lot of Jedi on it, Din continued, when Kukruk and his initiates didn't interrupt. Each one demonstrated a different lightsaber form. It was, some kind of assignment, maybe. Yes, said Kukruk softly now. All of the kids were watching Din and Kukruk with bated breath. It was a common project before the Clone Wars. A way for young Padawans to trace the lineage they had joined, and a way to show each learner that the Jedi Order was sprawling and diverse. Din thought of the variation in Tano's lineage, the line of students and teachers, if Din was understanding Kukruk, and the different ways that they'd fought. He smiled a little and nodded. Who was it a record of? Kukruk asked, his eyes glinting. Accomplished duelists? It all looks accomplished to me, Din thought wryly. To someone who wasn't a Jedi, even Tano's careful, precise demonstration of the most basic lightsaber form had looked impressive. It was a record of... Din paused, sorting through the holocron in his mind. Tano had gone first with her demonstration of Shicho, but she'd been the youngest. Her master had been Anakin Skywalker, Luke's father, whose master had been Obi-Wan Kenobi, whose master had been Qui-Gon Jinn. Yoda, Din thought, remembering Yoda's recording, the wonder and joy he'd felt at seeing what Grogu would grow up to be. Yoda said, he said that the holocron was a record of his lineage. He was the Grand Master of the Jedi Order, the Elor. It was a record of Grand Master Yoda's lineage, said Din, watching Kukruk's face. Master Yoda demonstrated Ataru. Kukruk actually smiled, which was the first time Din had seen the Wiffed Jedi do so. Which lineage? He asked. Master Yoda was 900 and had taken several Padawans over the years, many of whom later took Padawans of their own. One could have said that Yoda's lineage was the Jedi Order. Din tried not to gape at Kakurk. 900? Din had known that Grogu would live for a long time, since he was barely more than an infant at 50 standard. But to think that he could live to be 900... There was a Jedi named Qui-Gon Jinn on the holocron, Din said, recovering some. He knew that Jedi weren't like Mandalorians, who took clan names for themselves and their families. Grogu, if he decided to be Mandalorian, would have the right to use Din's name for himself. He would be Grogu Jaren. But the Jedi didn't form tribes or clans. Kukruk seemed to recognize the name, though, because he nodded, still smiling. I knew Master Jinn, he said, and his Padawan, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Where did the lineage end? Who was the youngest Jedi on the holocron, you mean? Kukruk nodded. Her name was Ahsoka Tano, Din said, hoping that telling Kukruk that wouldn't give away Tano's continued existence. Tano demonstrated Shi Cho on the holocron, not Ataru, so Din hoped that Kukruk wouldn't put the pieces together and guess that Tano was the other Jedi Din had met outside of Yavin 4. Ah, said Kukruk, Skywalker's Padawan. Din, who'd learned that from the holocron, nodded again. A recently made holocron, then, Kukruk observed. One of the last, I'd imagine. Knight Skywalker was killed at the close of the Clone Wars, and Padawan Tano left the Order before the purges began. That wasn't really a surprise to Din, either. Tano had said that she'd been a Jedi, not that she still was one currently. Do you have it with you? Kukruk pressed, his expression intent again. I don't, Din admitted, grimacing a little. I left Tatooine in a hurry. It's still with my kid at... in the place that I've been living. I'll bring it with me, Din added when he saw Kukruk's eyes flash. I'll bring it the next time I visit. It doesn't really belong with me. Kukruk eyed Din, but instead of demanding that Din fly back to Tatooine and collect the holocron now, he just inclined his head. So you know what the forms are called, he said. His gaze flicked towards the darksaber, which was in its usual place at Din's hip. But do you know a little more? You have watched our practices before when I was training with the knights. Is he asking if I can use a lightsaber? Din wondered, wary again. I learned a little, Din said. He'd already demonstrated to a Jedi, Quinlan Vos, that he could at least use the darksaber without cutting one of his own limbs off. Din didn't think that Vos had mentioned that to Skywalker when he'd told Skywalker about Din, but Din quickly ran through several scenarios in his head and couldn't come up with one that needed him to keep his middling skill with the darksaber from Kukruk. Kukruk grunted. Good, he said. Come here, then. A demonstration for the younglings. Children, clear the platform if you would. The initiates all began to murmur excitedly, rushing to do as they were told. But Din just stared at Kukruk, confused. You want to duel? He asked. No, Kukruk said, flashing Din a smile that showed off all of his tusks. I want a demonstration. A duel implies that one of us could come to harm. I do not allow dueling among my students. Does that mean that I'm your student now? Din wondered. But if Kukruk was about to swing a lightsaber at Din, Din didn't want to antagonize him. His heart rate began to pick up, though. Din was interested, despite himself, his body reacting to the offer of a fight like it had reacted to sparring with Boba or Fennec or even Ashek. It'll be most like sparring with Ashek, Din thought. Boba and Fennec, neither of them wanted to hurt me. I don't think that Kukruk does either. The Whiffet, at most, probably wanted to embarrass Din a little bit, to show him the difference between a holo recording meant to teach children and a real Jedi Knight. But he might be looking to teach me a lesson. Despite that, Din wasn't afraid of Kukruk. He was mostly just curious to see what Kukruk could do. All of the lightsaber forms Din had seen him demonstrate had been slowed down, each kata broken into smaller steps so that Kukruk's students could watch and learn. I'm not his student, Din thought. In a real fight with Kukruk, Din knew that he wouldn't win. Not just with the Darksaber, at least. His brief tussle with Tano, the ease with which Skywalker had gone through the Dark Troopers after one alone had nearly managed to kill Din, had shown Din that. But maybe, Din thought, his field of vision beginning to narrow, his heart thumping steadily, his body preparing itself to fight, I can surprise him a little. The initiates cleared the platform atop the pyramid, crowding around the edges a few steps down, out of range of any wild strikes or blows. Din eyed them all, making sure he knew where they were, and obediently stepped into the empty space Kukruk ushered him into. Din watched as Kukruk moved 10 or 12 feet away, facing Din, and adopted a ready stance. The Wyfid drew his lightsaber, but didn't ignite it. Din, shifting through what he knew of lightsaber combat, did the same, unclipping the darksaber's hilt from his belt. It was familiar and comfortable in his hand. Kukruk held his own unlit blade loosely off to one side of his body. Din mirrored him and tried to decide which form to use. Not Skywalker's, Din thought, thinking of Anakin Skywalker's power, his strength. Din had used some of Skywalker's Jem So strikes before. He'd used them effectively, even, but none of his enemies had been Jedi. Kukruk's bigger than I am, Din thought, and Wyfids are stronger than humans. Trying to overpower him would be like trying to arm wrestle with a Wookiee. Of the remaining forms, Din had practiced the most often with Kenobi's form, Suresu, and Dooku's Makashi, because he could manage to copy most of those katas and strikes. Ataru had too many jumps and flips in it. Though now that he thought about it, Din could see how a few of Ataru's strikes could probably be adapted to the way of the Rising Phoenix, and Din filed that idea away for later when he could practice without any witnesses to the way he'd undoubtedly make an idiot out of himself. And Din couldn't use the Force, so Neiman was out too. Kukruk, he has a lightsaber, not a blaster, Din thought. Makashi, Master Dooku had said in his holo recording, is the duelist's form. Kukruk ignited his lightsaber. The humming blade was bright green. It was the same shape as Ahsoka Tano's lit blades, as Luke Skywalker's. Din ignited the darksaber and waited for Kukruk to come to him. The kids clustered around the edges of the platform, gasped. The darksaber didn't look like any lightsaber Din had seen among the Jedi. The shape of it was different, and its black and white color was different, too. Din let the noise wash over him and focused on Kukruk. Makashi is the form of intention, Din thought, remembering Dooku's lesson. He would wait for the Wyfid to strike first. Kukruk evidently hadn't been expecting patience from a Mandalorian, because he waited for 10 or 15 long, stretched-out seconds. And then he snorted. And then he moved. For such a large being, Kukruk was fast. Din barely had any time to react and bring up the darksaber into the right block before Kukruk was on him. He did manage it, though, bracing his stance and leaning hard on the forms that Dooku had so effortlessly demonstrated in his holo recording. Kukruk came in and swept down with a powerful overhand blow. Jem So, I think, Din noted absently, down at Din's head. Din brought the darksaber up into the correct position and caught the blow, blade to blade. His arm rattled with the impact. Din's eyes widened. It wasn't like any sort of fighting that Din had done with the darksaber so far. Din had deflected blaster bolts now, intimidated Jassa and her crew. He'd used the darksaber to cut through metal and wood and flesh and bone. But he hadn't used it like a lightsaber, a Jedi's weapon. And the sizzling hiss of plasma striking plasma, the strange resistance in the blade, caught Din by surprise. Din was used to fighting through surprise, though, so he mirrored a flick of the wrist that Dooku had demonstrated and pushed Kukruk's blade away, then slid neatly under the Wyfid's arm and cut in with a darksaber. Kukruk saw it coming and danced away, unnaturally fast. Din couldn't match his speed, so he didn't try. He just fell back into a ready stance, making sure his grip was still good on the darksaber's Beskar hilt, and waited. An excited murmur tore through the initiates. Kukruk, for his part, had gone blank and unreadable. If he'd been human, Din might have been able to read his expression better. Might have been able to tell if Kukruk was surprised or approving or even irritated. But Kukruk's tusked face gave nothing away. Despite the strength behind his blow, Din was still pretty sure that Kukruk only meant to teach his students, and maybe Din, a lesson. He wasn't aiming to hurt Din. I hope, anyway, Din thought. He rocked back on his heels and waited for Kukruk to come at him again. The Jedi's eyes glinted. He understood what Din was doing. He charged again, even faster this time, but Din was expecting it, and he was able to block Kukruk's second blow, too, turning Kukruk's sideways swipe aside with another twist of his wrist, using the darksaber's hissing, crackling energy as a shield. He blocked Kukruk's third blow, too. Kukruk was using Jemso, Din was pretty sure. He recognized Anakin Skywalker's relentless energy in Kukruk's swings and his form. Maybe Suresu would have been better, Din thought, dodging a fourth strike and lashing out with a neat diagonal stroke of his own to stop a fifth before Kukruk could get any power behind it. Suresu, Kenobi's form, was the style that Din had leaned on in Gela's place. It had helped him surprise and overwhelm Joss's reinforcements, had given Din a way to turn back blaster fire, and Suresu relied on movement. Din would be much harder for Kukruk to hit if he'd fallen back on Kenobi's katas instead of Dooku's. Dooku's form was serving Din well enough, though. He managed to keep the darksaber in his hand anyway, and he lost it another 30 seconds against Kukruk, dodging and turning aside arm-numbing blows, occasionally getting a few cutting strikes of his own in, before the Wiffed managed to get past Din's guard and freeze him in place with his lightsaber aimed at Din's eye. The heat of the blade pushed against Din's skin, but Din knew, he knew that even though Kukruk didn't like Din very much, he wouldn't hurt him. Din dropped the darksaber's point towards the ground and smiled, rueful. "I told you," Din said. Kukruk accepted Din's surrender and stepped back, bringing his own blade in. "I'm no Jedi." "But you learned how to do all of this," Kukruk said slowly, "just by watching a holocron." Din nodded. Kukruk looked at Din some more, then turned to his students. "Initiate Rabo," he said, looking at the Togruta boy. "What form was the Mandalorian using?" "It's Jaren," Din added, before he was forever labeled just as the Mandalorian in the minds of all of the Jedi. Kukruk looked at Din sideways, then nodded. "Jaren," he agreed. "What form was Master Jaren using?" Rabo looked between Din and Kukruk, then said tentatively, "Form 2?" Din gave the kid a small, encouraging smile. Kukruk just nodded. "Also known as Makashi," Kukruk said. "A dueling form developed specifically for lightsaber combat. Now, who can tell me why Makashi was a good choice on Master Jaren's part? Osami?" One of the human girls had put her hand in the air, and when Kukruk called her name, she said importantly, "Because he's not as big as you." "Very good," said Kukruk, and the Jedi Master proceeded to give an entire lecture to his students, with Din standing beside him, occasionally pausing to go through several more furious, fast-paced demonstrations with Din, all of which Din lost, though by the end of the afternoon he'd managed to last almost 2 minutes against Kukruk and had even disarmed the Jedi once with one of Dooku's more complicated katas, though Kukruk had immediately retaliated by tossing Din across half the platform with the Force and answering the youngling's questions for a while. Makashi, Din gathered, wasn't a very common form among the students of the Jedi Academy, and Kukruk had seized the chance to teach his students about it with both hands. Din didn't mind serving as a teaching tool. He was happy to demonstrate what he'd learned and happier to answer the kids' questions about it. "Most of our duelists died during the Clone Wars," Kukruk said later, after he'd sent his students off for dinner and had enlisted Din's help in cleaning off the platform before they followed the initiates. Din, tired, sore, and very interested in learning more about lightsaber combat, there was only so much he could learn from the holocron after all, just listened. Throwing Din around the platform had put to rest most of the misgivings that Kukruk had had, and now the Jedi didn't seem to mind Din's presence much at all. The good ones, the ones who managed to survive 4 years of war and the immediate purges on the battlefield, were put at the top of the Empire's bounty lists and hunted down, Kukruk continued. His tone was dry, matter-of-fact. Din could hear K'Krook's old pain anyway. Most of the Jedi young Skywalker has been able to gather here were children themselves, then, said K'Krook. Initiates or Padawans, most just taking their first steps on their path as Jedi. None were masters of any one form, and most put their lightsabers down to hide from the Empire. Din nodded again. He understood that, he supposed. They finished clearing off the platform and began to head towards the main pyramid together, their fragile truce holding for now. I will bring the holocron with me, Din said. The next time I come to visit. I didn't really plan on visiting this time, it just sort of happened, otherwise I would have brought it with me. There's only so much that I can learn from it. Ataru, Nima, and the forms that rely on the Force, it's all beyond me. K'Krook eyed Din. I wouldn't be so sure of that, he rumbled. Din blinked. You did very well with Form 2, K'Krook said. You could be a master of that style, Mandalorian, if you kept up your practice. Really? Din said, doubtful but pleased nonetheless. It was always satisfying to have skill recognized by a true master. K'Krook was a nightmare with his lightsaber. Din never wanted to be on the other side of a battlefield as the Wifed. But K'Krook also wasn't the type to offer praise lightly. With much practice, K'Krook reiterated. Din thought that the Jedi might be laughing at him, which was strange considering how hostile K'Krook had been before. Apparently, Din could have fixed all of that the first time he'd visited by offering himself up as a target during K'Krook's lightsaber lessons. It's Form 2's pretty close to what Mandalorians, Din said, call Parkad. It's a sword-fighting form. I think this, he gestured to the darksaber, which was safe back on his hip, was probably made for Form 2. It was a Mandalorian Jedi's lightsaber. K'Krook snorted again. A Mandalorian Jedi, he said. They were nearing the mess hall now. Evening was falling swiftly over the planet. Din shrugged. That's what I've been told, he said. Said K'Krook. He paused by the mess hall doors, then looked Din up and down again. Stranger things have happened in the galaxy, I suppose, he said. He set a hand on the door. Young Skywalker tells me that you're taking Grogu with you tomorrow, on some Mandalorian business. I am, Din said, wary again. He had just gotten K'Krook to tolerate his presence. He didn't want to irritate the Wifed again. But he was taking Grogu to the summit. He'd made up his mind. K'Krook made a grumbling boar noise in the back of his throat. He narrowed his eyes. Din stood his ground. Bring him back in one piece, K'Krook finally instructed, pushing the door of the mess hall open, letting laughter and chatter and the smell of a good meal wash out into Yavin 4's evening air. And yourself, too. Your footwork's terrible enough as it is without you getting maimed by other Mandalorians. K'Krook shouldered his way past Din into the mess hall, leaving Din standing at the threshold, staring after him. Then Din grinned. Master K'Krook isn't so bad, Din thought, following the Wifed into the mess. Grogu, seated with the rest of his crash, saw Din and began to wave frantically. Several of the other Jedi waved too, or called out Din's name, greeting him warmly. Not even the shadow cast by Kreese's summit, the threat of maiming, which was probably much more imminent than K'Krook had guessed, could dampen Din's mood. He's kind of like a Mandalorian, Din thought. All he needed was the chance to take a few swings at me, and now we're, well, not friends, probably, but allies. Din liked the sound of that. Hey, kid, Din said, pulling out a seat for himself beside Grogu at the table. Buh, his son said. Din smiled. It was strange, but he was content. Din was happy here. There was no point in examining the thought too closely either. Din was happy here among Grogu's people, and that was a good thing. That was a good thing. Din set his soreness, his aching arms, all of the grief that he'd carried with him from Tatooine aside. He leaned in.
So what's for dinner?